Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
We're going to spend some time in the first maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes of the show this morning looking at the Ona Curra Centre story, which I'd remind you broke here on the Opinion Line in midsummer when we were approached by Maureen, a relative of a man who's been living there for 10 years, and indeed by local Green Party councillor Liam Quaid, who brought it to our attention that the HSE had decided to close the Ona Curra Centre in Middleton because they say it's no longer fit for purpose. And this is something that I don't think anybody denies at this point, that the centre is not fit for purpose. But there are 19 people living there. It is their home. We learned that some of them have been there for 10 years, 5 years. One woman is there for nearly 25 years. So we've been covering this story on the programme over the last couple of months. Now, it came up yesterday at a meeting of the Oireachtas Committee on Mental Health and went through various elements of the story and various, you know, arguments about the closure and what should happen to the services and where the people should go and all of that. The HSE was represented at that hearing yesterday by Michael Fitzgerald, who is Chief Officer of Cork Kerry Community Healthcare. And this is what Mr. Fitzgerald had to say.
Unfortunately, as we move to the advanced planning phase for the centre, serious concerns emerged that any level of refurbishment could not bring the building to the standards required. Advice from construction experts has led the HSE to take the difficult but necessary decision to close the centre. We've reviewed all options for the centre, and every option involves a complete demolition of the existing building rather than a phased refurbishment. While we were aware of the pressing need to bring the building to the standard which residents deserve, it was only when the fabric of the building was assessed for this work that we established that the only way to refurbish the building was actually to knock it. This was not our original plan for the valuable service at the Ona Curra Centre, and while it was a difficult decision, there was no other option open to us. The immediate priority is the welfare of the 19 residents of the centre. We are working with each resident and their families individually to agree an appropriate alternative placement based on their assessed needs. Residents will move on a phased basis after detailed consultation and discussion. They will transfer to the most appropriate setting that will meet their needs and with their expressed preference to the forefront in any such decision. Assessments with residents have been completed and consultation with families is underway at present. All of the assessments have been completed at this stage. The multidisciplinary team within the Ona Curra Centre continues to have ongoing discussions with all residents to offer ongoing support and assurances.
Now take that last bit of what Michael Fitzgerald said at that Oireachtas Committee meeting yesterday. That doesn't exactly gel with what I was told during my visit last week to Ona Curra, where I met a number of residents and relatives. Mr. Fitzgerald is saying that the HSE's process of consultation, well, if we were listening to him correctly, at an advanced stage and close to finished, in fact, in terms of assessments, that doesn't gel with what I was told during my visit last week, which, bear in mind, just a week ago yesterday, I went to see the residents and the families.
Unfortunately, as we move...
You know, there's been a continuous answer from the management of the HSE that they are communicating with residents and relatives, and that has not been the case at all.
some of the lads here are saying they've only been talking to people in the last week or two.
Yeah, we all got a phone call last Friday to set up meetings for this week. So I've had the meeting in which I was told, well, we have no further information.
What do you like about being here?
It's very central. There's everything within reach, and as well as that, the staff are great.
And you've no idea where you might have to go when it closes, do you?
They haven't told us anything about that, and the staff say the same.
The doctor over there, we have dentist over there, opticians, hearing aid, hairdressers, chiropodists.
Everything you need.
Yeah. And to me, the location of this place is like a medicine. It contributes to me getting better.
And that's me speaking to, that's Vincent and Mick before him, and Maureen, the resident who brought the whole thing to our attention back in the summertime. That's just a week ago, talking to them. Now, yesterday at the meeting of the Oireachtas Committee, local TDs Pat Buckley of Sinn Féin and Sean Sherlock of Labour both spoke to address the HSE's position, or indeed to respond to the HSE's position.
He don't know the importance of a community-led centre, a community integrated centre, where there's a lot of locals from the area, from the town of Middleton, where I'm from, but also it covers a massive hinterland. And you're going to move them out of, no matter what you call a suitable place, it cannot be suitable if the areas that they've mentioned are not accessible by public transport. Okay, some are out in the country, others are locked out for 12 hours a day. That's not integration of people. What we need to do here is come up with a plan B, because you don't have a plan at the moment, a plan A even for the centre. You don't have a plan for the site. You don't have a plan for the daycare services. You don't have a plan for all these patients yet. And yet, when we ask all these questions, we don't have a plan to answer them, because you don't have answers for it. I'll tell you how serious it is. We were at a public meeting last night and it was full, and there's anger there, and I'm telling you, I'm asking you, you better reverse this and come up with an alternative project, because this is not going to weigh in East Cork.
I mean, it's unconscionable that the HSE should come to this committee without anticipating a question from one or all of the members as to how much would it cost to do the repairs and refurbishment, and two, what would the cost of a replacement building on that site be? Because you have significant capital resources to do so. I'm asking, please, that the HSE please put some pause on this and reflect. Because 4 months, I mean, you'd give a dog, if you were kicking him out of a kennel, God forgive me for saying it, more notice than you've given some of these people to be out of their home. And I'm sorry if I'm sounding exercised about it, but I feel that strongly about it. I think there needs to be a pause put on this in the public interest, and so that we as public representatives have more time to interrogate line by line everything that you're doing here, so that we can fully and with good conscience represent our constituents.
There's a very strong sense coming from both deputies, Sherlock, who you heard there, and Buckley before him, that the time has come now to pause this and to try to at least defer the closure of Ó na Córa until we get a better plan, until they get a better plan for the residents and their families. That's a very definite sense coming out of that meeting yesterday. Now, we have asked some more questions of the HSE this morning, including sending them a recording of Green Party TD Nessa Harrigan, to whom I've also been speaking. And we'll see what they can come up with before the end of the programme. But I did speak to, like you might say, and people will say, well, Pat Buckley of Sinn Féin and Sean Sherlock of Labour are opposition party TDs. That's what they're going to do. They're going to represent an opposition voice. Before you do that, Green Party TD Nessa Harrigan is a government TD. She also addressed the meeting yesterday. She's read all the various reports on the state of the building, and we had quite a long conversation afterwards. I'll let you hear that next. Deputy Harrigan, what you bring to the table is that you are also an architect, and you've been looking over with an architect's mind all of the various paperwork with regard to Ó na Córa. Am I right in saying, Nessa, it's nowhere near to falling down? There's work needed, a lot of work, but it's nowhere near to falling down.
you know, the building we heard today, and in fairness, the HSE were very clear on this, the building's not condemned. The building is not in a state where you'd have to move everybody out in an emergency situation. On the other hand, nobody is suggesting, and certainly I'm not suggesting, that the building isn't in a serious need of repair, and that isn't something that, you know, those residents deserve. Like, they deserve to live somewhere safe and warm and comfortable. And there are ongoing issues with fire safety, and there's ongoing issues with asbestos. However, having said that, and one of the things that we tried to get at today in the meeting is that, you know, since 2016, the premises has been cited as problematic. It's been cited as needing repair, but it's always been categorized as moderate to low risk. So if you were a family and you were reading the annual reports every year, you'd have no idea, you'd have no expectation that the HSE are going to turn around today or in July and say, actually, your loved one needs to move out by, you know, the end of October. That wouldn't have been flagged on anybody's radar. And I have to say, what we heard today is when we tried to pick apart all of the building reports and all of the timelines and the various, you know, input from estates and the input from the different policymakers and decision makers, we couldn't understand still how we have gotten to this timeline where families and residents are under so much pressure in such a tight time frame to move from a place that they might have lived for a decade, two decades. We heard one resident has been there 25 years.
Mm. So did the meeting achieve anything?
Well, you know, I think there was some really positive things. First of all, you know, across the board, across the political spectrum, there was unhappiness with this decision. And there was a real recognition of the value of residential care for people with mental health difficulties in the Middleton area. And the identification of, like, how huge that will be for the area if we lose it. Because the building is one thing. Losing the building is one thing. And if the building has to go, fair enough. But losing the service is a completely different issue. And I have to say, I found it really heartening to see all of, like, the public representatives who could come to the committee lining up to say, like, this will have a huge impact, not just on the residents' lives, but, you know, the community, because those residents contribute to the community and they're part of our community, and we don't want them to you know, to be lost from our community. And I think that on the record, and for the HSE to have to listen to that, is really, really useful.
Even here locally, representative wise, there is no political divide here. There's a cross political belief that something else needs to be looked at here.
That is so valuable. And you know in the best version of this, political representatives are speaking up, you know, for the people that vote for them and the people who don't. And I think that this, you know, at least, if nothing else, that session showed that is possible, and everybody can put their own stuff aside and really speak up for the people who need it most. I think for me, it was particularly interesting to be able to put all of those questions to the HSE around the timeline of the building reports and the timeline of the decision making. I have to be honest and say that when we did that, a lot of our questions weren't answered. And there was a lot of, oh, I'll write you an answer for that, Deputy Harrigan. I'll write you a note on the answer to that. I got no answers about how much money has been put into the building since 2016. I got in a 2020 report, there was a note around, we've done refurbishment costings and we know exactly the capital costs of all this and we're moving ahead with it. And I asked, well, what are those capital costs? I got no answers for that. So there was a whole, I could go through, you know, another 20 questions that we asked that we didn't get the answers for. And they're going to have to come up with those answers, and that's a positive. And then I think finally, you know, from the point of view of the community, I think there's a real concern about, like, where will people go? And the reality is that, like, as I said, nobody's arguing that the building is good or that the building can go on the way it is. But I think there's a real concern that we'll be moving people to a worse situation, that they might be going into dormitory living from single stay beds, that they might be going into, you know, nursing home situations that they might not be, they might not want to go to. And so I think we got to ask those questions. I again, I wasn't happy with the answers, but it's really useful to be able to, like, you know, pull all that information apart and say, well, how many people are we talking about here? Where are you going to put them? You know, in terms of kind of illuminating the reality of what this is going to mean for people's lives, it was a very interesting session from that point of view. Hard for the families to listen to, I would say.
Come back to the various building reports that you had perused yourself. Is everything consistent here? Is the message consistent through all the reports?
No. So the way we've been doing building inspections kind of has been set up since 2016, or the particular version that we're looking at. In 2016, there would have been 14 non-compliant issues with Owen Acurra, and all of them wouldn't have been the premises. The only one that relates to premises is Regulation 22. But there was an issue in 2016 that was considered non-compliant, and it was considered that it was non-compliant, but it was moderate. It was moderate non-compliance. And then in 2017, under the same category, we were told that it was compliant and that the quality rating of the premises was satisfactory and that the building inside and out was in good repair and that there was ample personal space. Now, there was some issues that they cited as, you know, they wanted it looked at, but they didn't say that it was anything other than satisfactory. Then we go to 2018, we're back again to it being non-compliant, but again, it's moderate non-compliance. We're talking about, you know, the bathrooms and the toilets need work, that there might be a smell here and there, that there's not a good state of repair. You know, there might be, they mentioned things like nails banged into walls that aren't fully in, you know, and that they could, like, there'd be trip hazards, things like that. In 2019, we're back to non-compliance, but the risk rating is low. So we're hearing, you know, you're constantly seeing in the reports, yes, there are issues with the building, but there's not enough maintenance. There's not enough kind of cleaning and tidying. Things are cluttered. It's not the kind of thing, as somebody who's worked in the construction industry, it wouldn't necessarily have been ringing alarm bells. And then we get to kind of October 2019 and they do the asbestos survey. And I have to say, I take that really seriously. Like, I would not like to downplay that in any way. Mm. However, the asbestos survey says that, yes, there is asbestos, but it's in good condition and it's of low risk.
Mm.
It is a very problematic material. I wouldn't like to downplay that. However, if you went through all of the institutional buildings in Ireland, you'd probably find it in a lot of them. And one of the questions we asked today is, you know, the HSE is going to be looking at putting people into other scenarios and other situations and other residential placements. Can you guarantee to us that there won't be a similar issue with asbestos in those places, that those buildings won't be of a similar level of disrepair? And they couldn't give that guarantee. And we do know that, you know, some of the proposed places or the places that they wouldn't rule out today. So, for example, St. Stephen's Hospital, which we asked, you know, are you considering putting people into St. Stephen's Hospital? They wouldn't rule that out. And I have to say the annual inspection report from St. Stephen's Hospital in 2020 was not good. And their premises was considered non-compliant, but not moderate non-compliance, not low non-compliance, high non-compliance.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's one thing to say the building's not great, but are you going to move them to a building that is great, that is best practice? Mm-hmm. That's the real question.
When I was down there last week, I found people were getting very anxious because they've been told it's closing. They've been told they'll have to move. And they have no idea, with just a few short weeks left, what's going to happen. Did anything, do you think, come out of the meeting that might address those worries?
I have to say, some of your local TDs down there really spoke very eloquently around the timeline and the pressure that end of October timeline is putting on people, and the kind of fear and just the anxiety from families around, you know, their loved ones who, you know, it takes a lot. I think, you know, if you have mental health difficulties, it takes a long time to engage with a service and be in a situation where you feel you're comfortable and you're doing well. And so to move people and to change their care plan and to change what their expectations are in such a tight time frame is a big deal. And I think that one of the things that was explored today, and we did get some kind of interesting responses from the HSE on it, is, you know, is that timeline fixed? And I think the HSE unsurprisingly said that is a fixed timeline. That is what we're looking at. However, they did also say if we're unable to move people in the time frame that we have, we'll have to perhaps reconsider it. And you know, I think that that in itself is positive, that the, you know, that that they will possibly listen to residents and listen to their fears and their concerns and yeah. what they would like, and that's a positive for me.
One of the things that people said to me when I was down there was, even if we could get it deferred until the new year so that we could take some time to do a proper plan for people.
Well, this is it exactly, and I think that's what so many people were talking about today, and certainly, you know, I was asking questions about that kind of 4 month window. Why have we gotten to a place where we're at a 4 month window? People, you know, like if you've been living somewhere for 25 years, like I'm living in my house 15 years, and I'm very attached to it, and I'd be very sad to leave it. I can only imagine if somebody is living somewhere for 25 years, and you know, they know their local shop, and they know their local shopkeeper, and they know their, you know, their local club or whatever it might be. To move people on in that time frame seems, you know, so difficult. And I do question whether that's the best practice care plan for anybody who's been living in a residential unit for more than a decade or however long it might be. And we did hear today, actually, interestingly, that the most recent person to come to Onakura was only placed there in February. Now, that seems extraordinary as well, that you would place somebody in February in a building that we heard today that they were the estates, you know, section of the HSE was doing a review in February around whether they should close this building down. So, you know, there's just so many questions here. I think a deferral would be a good outcome. It would give people time to, you know, to maybe find better placements and maybe to consider, like, what could be done? What could be done to hold this service in Middleton to keep people's quality of life there and you know, the home that they know and whether that would be possible.
Nessa Horrigan, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much.
That's Green Party TD Nessa Horrigan speaking to me last evening in the wake of that particular meeting yesterday. And you heard other clips from the meeting, including what the HSE had to say. They're represented by their community healthcare lead for Cork and Kerry, Mr. Michael Fitzgerald, and he said where they stand. Look, that's the latest up for you. Certainly there seems to be a buzz coming from the members of the committee yesterday that at very least a deferral should be considered by HSE. We have sent the HSE the audio of the interview with Nessa Horrigan to see if they have any response to it.
Cork's 96 FM.